Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Ballabha Giri Vrudhari Gopi Jana Ballabha Giri Vrudhari Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Jamuna Tiravana Chadi Jamuna Tiravana Chadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Ballabha Giri Vrudhari Giri Vrudhari Gopi Jana Ballabha Giri Vrudhari Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Jamuna Teravana Chadi Jamuna Teravana Chadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Om Vishnu Padparamahamsa Hari Vidagacharya Astatara Sata Sri Srimad's Divine Grace Isi Bhaktivedanta Swami Siddha Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavarinda Ki Grantharaji Mad Bhagavatam Ki Samveda Bhaktavarinda Ki Jai Gaur Primanandi Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Text 12 from Canto 5 chapter 10 Vishesha Bodhir Vishwaram Manakva Pashyamayana Vyavaharatonyat Ka Ishwaras Tatra Kim Ishatavyam Tatapi Rajan Karavama Kim Te Vishesha Budhir Visharam Manakcha Pashyama Yanna Vyavaharatonyat Ka Ishwaras Tatra Kim Ishatavyam Tatapi Rajan Karavama Kim Te Vishesha Budhir Vivarama Manakta Ka Ishwaras Tatra Kam Ishatavyam Tatapi Rajan Karavama Kim Te Vishesha Bodhe of the conception of the distinction between master and servant. Vivaram, the scope. Manak, a little. Cha, also. Pashyamaha, I see. Yet, which. Na, not. Vyavaharataha. Then the temporary usage or convention. Anyat. Other. Kaha. Who. Ishvaraha. The master. Tatra. In this. Kim. Who. Ishatavyam is to be controlled. Tatapi, nevertheless, Rajan, O king, if you still think that you are the master and I'm the servant. That was in parentheses. Karavama, I may do. Kim, what? day for you. Translation, my dear king, if you still think that you are the king and I am your servant, you should order me and I should follow your order. I can then say that this differentiation is temporary and it expands only from usage or convention. I do not see any other cause. In that case, who is the master and who is the servant? Everyone is forced by the laws of material nature, therefore, no one is master and no one is servant. At least amongst us, there is master. Anyway, nonetheless, if you think that you are the master and I'm your servant, I shall accept this. Please order me. What can I do for you? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, Aham Mameti. One thinks, I am this body. And in this bodily relationship, he is my master, he is my servant, she is my wife, and he is my son. Unquote. All these conceptions are temporary due to the inevitable change of body and the arrangements of material nature. We are gathered together like straws floating in the waves of an ocean, straws that are inevitably separated by the laws of the waves. In this material world, everyone is floating on the waves of the ocean of nescience, as described by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Miche mayara vashe yache yacha bheshe kacha habudubu bhai jeev krishna das avishvas karle tar karle tara dhukanai. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur states that all men and women are floating like straws on the waves of material nature. Here's the good part. If they come to the understanding that they are eternal servants of Krishna, Jeev Krishna Das, they will put an end to this floating condition. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 3:37, Kamesha Krodesha Rajo Guna Samudbhava. Due to the mode of passion, we desire many things, and according to our desire or anxiety, and according to the order of the Supreme Lord, material nature gives us a certain type of body for some time we play as master or servant, as actors play on the stage under someone else's direction. While we are in the human form, we should put an end to this nonsensical stage performance. We should come to our original constitutional position, known as Krishna consciousness. At the present moment, the real master is material nature. Under the spell of material nature, we are becoming servants and masters, but if we agree to be controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his eternal servants, this temporary condition ceases to exist. Bhaktiluk, in this discussion on the verse, I'm going to be addressing your question, so antenna up. Vishesha buddhir vivaram manakcha pashyama yan na vyavaharanto nyat ka ishvaras tatra kim ishatavyam tatapi rajan karavama kim te. again, the translation. My dear king, if you still think that you are the king and I'm your servant, you should order me, and I should follow your order. I can then say that this differentiation is temporary, and it expands only from usage or convention. I do not see any other cause. In that case, who is the master and who is the servant? Everyone is being forced by the laws of material nature. Therefore, no one is master, no one is servant. Nonetheless, if you think that you are master and I am the servant, I shall accept this. Please order me. What can I do for you? Imagine having a conversation with somebody like that. Again, this is one of the nice sections of the Bhagavatam that are presenting transcendental knowledge, specifically Sankhya, and then the application of ourselves in that paradigm or in that vision of seeing as Sankhya teaches. And then where does that take you? Jed Bard is playing the role of a teacher. He's giving transcendental knowledge to the king. It's appropriate. He's, on many levels it's appropriate, but he's a brahmana and the king is a king. So the brahmana is to instruct the king. But he, Jed Bard, has been playing the role of an avaduta, so much so that nobody understood him. His father didn't understand him. His brothers didn't understand him. People in general didn't understand him. The dacoits and fools didn't understand him. Nobody understood him, in part because he didn't speak. Prabhupada says like this, you know, you can understand a person's position when they speak. You know, a fool is disclosed by their speech. And sometimes also by their behavior, or commonly by their behaviors, but here his speech is disclosing his position. His position is a perfected being. In Brihat Bhagavatamrita, there's a very nice section. It's also presented in Sri Brahma Samhita, that the eligibility for entering into Vrindavan is beyond the eligibility of someone that enters Vaikuntha. There's one purport in Sri Brahma Samhita where Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is describing the various statuses of persons not eligible for entering Vrindavan or entering into Gokula, the pastimes of Krishna, because he's described in the previous verse processes by which one can enter into the pastimes of Krishna, even specifically enter into the unmanifest pastimes of Krishna. The unmanifest pastimes of Krishna are in Goloka Vrindavan, eternally, and Gokula Vrindavan, other than when it's the scheduled pastimes of the Lord. One can enter into them by two processes, he describes, mantra upasana and svarasaki. And then part of the depiction in Brahma Samhita, there are protectors to keep unqualified people from entering. And of course, then he starts at the lowest, like people that are just attached. And then people that are speculators. And then there's the gyanis and the mystics and up and up. And even the scribes cannot enter Vrindavan or Gokula, because that's at the very beginning of the Sri Brahma Samhita, this depiction of a yantra, which is a mystical diagram or depiction of Goloka Vrindavan, the central part of which is Radha Krishna, and then the abodes of the gopis, and then the Sweta Dweep, the outer portion where the Yuga Avatar forms of the Lord reside, and where Vasudev Sankarshan Pradumna and Aniruddha in Krishna Loka reside. And then there's these protectors all around. So there's five categories of persons that are devotees that cannot enter Vrindavan. And there's technical terms that's presented also in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, the first of them being a devotee who is mixed with knowledge. And the example that's given in Brihad Bhagavatamrita is Bharat Maharaj, the very person that we're speaking of here. Devotion mixed with knowledge. In other words, it's not that the pure devotee doesn't know anything, but the devotion is so strong that the knowledge is eclipsed. The knowledge is there, but devotion is so strong that the knowledge is eclipsed. That's a stage of devotion. And so that Bharat Maharaj is in that condition, and he is presenting transcendental knowledge to the king. And the first line in the verse, Vishesha Buddher, Prabhupada has translated it in the word for word, of the conception of the distinction between master and servant. Now, the distinction between master and servant happens to be the subject matter between the two, Jad Bharat and the king. Who's master, who's servant? I'm the master and you're the servant. Get it together or you're in trouble. I'm the master, you're the servant. We were discussing yesterday about upadis, designations. I'm the master. So these are temporary, and they're not who we are either. Who we are is spirit soul, for starters. And that souls aren't temporary, and souls aren't master or servant either in relation to one another. We're eternally the servant of Krishna. Jeev Krishna Das, in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's language. And that entering into the conception of Jeev Krishna Das is so powerful, transcendental knowledge is so powerful, that it can relieve one from material existence. We find this in Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Transcendental knowledge. In the boat of transcendental knowledge, you can cross over the ocean of material existence. Transcendental knowledge is so wonderful, it can burn to fire all the reactions of one's material activities. Transcendental knowledge connects one to the transcendental realm. If you receive it properly, if you take shelter of it properly. And it's in Bhagavad Gita, and it's taught by our acharyas, so it's not like, oh, that's transcendental knowledge, we're not interested in that. We're interested in, you know, going to Vrindavan. We have to have the eligibility first. And this term Vishesha Bud here, it appears in Lord Chaitanya's explanation to Sanatan Goswami of the Atmarama verse. On Sunday I mentioned Lord Chaitanya's instruction to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya about the Atmarama verse. And it brought Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Lord Chaitanya's explanation brought Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to the position of not just transcendental knowledge, but acceptance of Lord Chaitanya as the personality Godhead, recognizing, knowing, like the light went on, you're the personality of Godhead. And then Lord Chaitanya showed his form, his transcendental Sadbhuj form, at least according to Chaitanya Bhagavat. And I'm going to read a few verses from Sanatan Goswami heard of this discussion with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and he asked Lord Chaitanya, can you say it again? So Lord Chaitanya said it again. And I'm going to read from, so it's chapter 24 of Madhya Lila, entitled Explanation of the Atmarama Verse, part 2. And it's to Sanatan Goswami. And I'm going to start with text 180 and we'll go through 187. Before I read what it says, I'll explain and then I'll read. The way that Jed Bard is using this Vishesha Bhut here is a particular type of intelligence. So Lord Chaitanya is explaining in the Atmarama verse, all living beings have some type of intelligence. And there's this, and there's this, and there's this, and there's this. The Atmarama personality doesn't identify with any of the upadis, although they may act within them, like Lord Chaitanya himself, correct? He acted in the role of a sannyasi. He was strict. Oh, was he strict? But he knew very well he wasn't a sannyasi. That's an eligibility for entering into Vrindavan. Not being attached to the designation, although acting within the designation. We need purification. And part of our what's purification from what? Purification from our affinity for matter. Anybody want to raise their hand and say, I have no affinity for matter? As long as we have some affinity for matter, we need to regulate that. And there's different positions to help regulate that. Both varna and ashram are duties that we accept, although we know that they're not who we are, which is exactly what the last line is, tatapi, nevertheless, if you think you're the king and you think I'm your servant, I'm ready to act in that position, but I'll do so with the understanding that's not who I really am. Why? I'm attached to Krishna, or I wish to become attached to Krishna, and I have this body, sad to say. And this body has its affinities, sad to say. So my consciousness is attached to Krishna, but I'm ready to accept whatever the assigned service is that's according to convention. We'll come to convention in a minute. So here, we'll go back to this Vishesha Bhut here, or Vishesha Bhuti. So it starts with text 180, where Lord Chaitanya is explaining the word dhriti and then dhira, those two words, because it's connected to the Atmarama verse. The word dhriti is also used when one is fully perfect in knowledge. Question. What does fully perfect in knowledge mean? Answer. Prabhupada explains it in the purport of Bhagavad Gita 241, the last paragraph, where he says, not just theoretical knowledge of I'm not this body, but such a state of realization, there's not even a chance to act on the platform of the body in pursuit of happiness through fruitive activity. That's perfect knowledge. And such a person is being explained by Lord Chaitanya as it's appropriate to call that person dhriti. The word dhriti is also used when one is fully perfect in knowledge, when, due to having obtained the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality Godhead. He has no material miseries. Dukkha abhave means the absence of material miseries. Gone. Now, as long as we have a body, there's miseries. I think we've all noticed. Pains and pleasures and aches and, you know, something. Something. It's hot, it's cold. Something. What to speak of the mind. But because those are also material miseries. Beyond it. It's still going on, but it's beyond. Consciousness is somewhere else. That's this vritti. Or the Atmarama person. Or the person that's qualified to enter into Vrindavan. We're not there. But there are... Okay. He has no material miseries. He attains maha, purna, the highest level of perfection. Text 181. Dritti is the fullness felt by the absence of misery and brought about by receiving knowledge. This is, he's quoting, Lord Chaitanya's quoting, or Krishna Das Kaviraj is quoting, Rupa Goswami saying the same thing. Why does Rupa Goswami say it? Because Lord Chaitanya said it. And he's presenting it in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So dritti is the fullness felt. This is Atmarama, by the way. The fullness felt by the absence of misery and brought about by receiving knowledge of the Supreme Lord and by obtaining pure love for him. The lamentation that accrues from not obtaining a goal and the loss of something already attained does not affect this completeness. There's no fruitive thing going on in their consciousness. Wishing something, losing something that you had. That's Rupa Goswami. Lord Chaitanya goes on. A devotee of Krishna, Krishna Bhakta, is never in a miserable condition, nor does he have any desire other than to serve Krishna. He is experienced and advanced. He feels the transcendental bliss of love of Krishna and always engages in his service, fully protected. Sounds pretty nice. Then he quotes, Krishna Das Kaviraj quotes the Bhagavatam, 9th canto. My devotees, having fulfilled their desires by serving me, do not accept the four kinds of salvation that are easily earned by such service. Why then should they accept any pleasures that are lost in the course of time? Fixed. Like Prabhupada's language in Bhagavad Gita. Beyond the point where there's even a chance of pursuing happiness through fruitive activity. There's no desire to be fulfilled because of that complete shelter of service, the mood of service, not the mood of anything else. Krishna's happiness, nothing else. So, the miserable conditions, you know, having a body and the pains and pleasures, having a mind, and it's, you know, it's stuff that goes on that's not Krishna conscious. Such a person is beyond that. It's like the example of Bhagavad Gita is the lotus flower that's not disturbed by the waves in the lake. There's a wind, and the waves come. And the lotus is undisturbed because it's above the surface of the water. Never becomes wet. So we can be in a circumstance like Kali Yuga circumstance where it's we can go on Sankirtan, go to the taste of Chicago where people are drunk and wild and crazy, and but not be disturbed because if one is in this state of consciousness. When you can do any activity. You know, the hot kitchen in the summer or the cold bath in the winter. Cold bath meaning taking, you know, jumping in the lake or the river in the winter. Not like the hot water in the winter. The lake, the river in the winter. Not be disturbed. Not, I do it because it's duty, but just that's a beginning, but you tolerate, that's a beginning part. But this is describing this higher stage of consciousness. Text 184. In this material world, all living entities are disturbed due to their flickering position. You know, the king or the master is disturbed. My subjects aren't behaving properly, and wait a minute, now they want to take over my position as being the king and all that stuff. A devotee, however, is fixed in service of the lotus feet of the Lord, the master of the senses. Such a person is considered to be situated in endurance and patience. That's dhira. You've heard that term? Dhira. Dhira is tatra namuyati. Dhira. It's in dhairyat. Same root. In it's a principle that Rupa Goswami teaches in Nectar of Instruction as that which helps, it enhances, it helps one achieve perfection in devotional service. How to cultivate that? Become so attached to the mood of service to Krishna. Doesn't matter if it's this or that. Bring it on, this or that. It's fine. This duality, that duality. Now I'm enthused. Now I'm not so enthused. I'm feeling encouraged. Oh, I'm feeling discouraged. I'm feeling happy. I'm feeling not happy. The cure is being fixed in the mood of service. Like Rupa Goswami says, in the beginning, knowledge may help, like a foothold in scaling a wall or a mountain. But in the end, it's not just the knowledge, it's attached to the service of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya is teaching this. The word cha is for emphasis. Atmaramas cha munayo. The word cha is for emphasis, and the word api is used as an aggregate. It is to be understood that even dull creatures, parentheses, birds, and illiterates, can also be situated in endurance and engage in Krishna's devotional service. Lord Chaitanya's teaching. Now, text 186. All these don't have purports, but the term vishesha bhuti, that's why I'm reading all of this. The word atma is also used for a particular type of intelligence. Atma is used for vishesha bhuti. So anything that's a soul is conscious, because there's conscious and consciousness. And then there are levels of consciousness and levels of intelligence according to the covering of the soul. The word atma is also used for a particular type of intelligence, since all living entities generally have some intelligence, more or less. They're included. They're eligible for the atmarama stage. It's certainly most favorable in the human form of life. But this is Lord Chaitanya's teaching. Again, text 187, last one. Everyone has some kind of intelligence. That's vishesha buddhi. And one who utilizes his intelligence is called atmarama. There are two types of atmarama. One of them's over here. Whoops, no. One is a learned scholar and a philosopher. and the other is an uneducated, illiterate, and foolish person. By the mercy of Krishna and by the association of devotees, one increases his attraction to and intelligence for pure devotional service. Therefore, one gives up everything and engages himself with the lotus feet of Krishna and his pure devotees. So, the lesson that's being imparted by Jad Bharat is, my dear king, you have this consciousness that's Vishesha Bhuti, this particular type of consciousness, this particular conception that is thinking in terms of designation. You're the master, I'm the servant, and I'm supposed to do what you want. That's fine. I know that's not the case. That's the next line. Vishesha Bhutir Vivaram Manak Va Cha Pashyamayan Na Vyavaharato Nyat Vyavaharata. Prabhupada has translated that as, than the temporary usage or convention. Again, making reference to Brihat Bhagavatamrita, the same term is used there, where the an explanation is given of persons who are highly qualified, like pure devotees, and they may do something that's not what a pure devotee would normally do, but they're doing so for the purpose of instructing others. The example, there's three examples given. Bharat Maharaj is one of them, where the fault of bad association, that is, you know, mainly it's his mind, he became attached to the deer. The fault of bad association, Bharat Maharaj is teaching that. Yudhisthira was teaching the fault of gambling. Now, there's all this discussion, why did he gamble, and why did he gamble his wife, and all those things. Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Sanatana Goswami is teaching us that this is this term, vyavaharata. It's a conventional thing that some people do where they gamble, and some people become, they enter into unwholesome association, or kingriga. You know, the unwanted consequences of taking the property of a brahmana. Whoa, become a lizard. Don't take the property of a brahmana. You know, we have brahmanas in our temple. And, you know, so property that belongs to some prabhu, we don't take it. We don't take anyone's property. That's culture. But the fault of taking the property of a brahmana, big time problem. So how is it that exalted people can do these things? And Brihat Bhagavatamrita is saying they're teaching us by a particular application of themselves as an example. That's what this term means. Vyavaharata. So you, my dear king, you have this idea, this Vishesha Bhuti. Fine. I understand that's just a convention. Like, you know, you're born in a certain family, so you're a king. I'm born in another family and I behave another way. I'm the servant of the king. Okay, fine. But I understand it's temporary. It's circumstantial only. And we think of these things by convention only. That's okay. I know that's not who I am. But if you're thinking like that, you're the master. My consciousness is Krishna's my master. And if the social convention says I should be your servant, I'm ready. And that's this tatapi. Nonetheless, so How do we, what's the takeaway here? We're practicing Krishna consciousness to some degree. And we're being taught we're not this body. That's the first thing, Bhagavad Gita. We're not this body. And yet, we're doing things that seems to indicate we're the body. Or at least, you know, we have a designation. You know, this one and that one. Saffron and white. Or brahmachari, the householder. So we're obliged. That's ashram kinds of distinctions. And then nature. You know, someone is the pujari, and someone gives the class, and someone cleans the floor, and someone takes out the garbage, and someone... We have different duties, the different parts of the social body. We do these things for the purpose of purification. While we're growing the conception that we're spirit soul, we're accepting regulations because we have affinity for matter. We have a psychophysical nature. So we're accepting the regulation. What's the purpose of the regulation? What's the purpose of all regulations? Always think of Krishna. Never forget Krishna. So when one comes to such a stage, down at the bottom line, tatapi rajan, nevertheless, my dear king, you know, those who are functioning within the conception of social convention, fine. My consciousness is fixed on one thing. The Atmarama reference. Fixed, beyond distresses, beyond disturbance, beyond duality, beyond anything temporary. Fixed in the conception that I'm Krishna's eternal servant. That's the regulated stage. So what comes after the regulated stage? The spontaneous stage. If someone that's not fixed, like this is being described, we're not eligible to enter into the spontaneous stage. It's pretense. Prabhupada often used the word sahajya. Because there's one of the 13 different upa-sampradayas, that's one of them. And they would imitate the activities of eligible people when they weren't eligible. Making a farce of the process of bhakti. So Prabhupada warned us over and over again, don't do that. Become eligible. Coming to that stage is something that will come. When we're well beyond the anartha nivritti stage, deep into the nishtha stage, entering into the ruchi and asakti stages, then we can consider. It's in Rupa Goswami's teachings for sure. So it's something we should know somewhere down the road. That's something that we should aspire for, and it will come. For now, be fixed in the conception that's being described here. Just attached. If we want to become like, cultivate a hankering, hanker to become just attached to service. Serving the Vaishnavas. Serving the deities. Serving the holy name. Serving the devotees. Serving and duality doesn't disturb me, and no hankering, and no lamenting, and no background noise. Just fixed. And then, just as there was a time when we were like in La La Land and in total Maya, someone came along and gave us some opportunity for devotional service and devotional teachings and chanting of the holy. So that opportunity will also, by Krishna's arrangement, be there. No problem. Krishna isn't going to process in the ditch, when we become that, come to that stage, he's going to carry us to the next stage. First, become eligible. Last thing, I like this last line a lot. It helps in our practice stage to understand, here's one is in the fixed stage, how we should practice following the example of one who's fixed. And the one who's fixed says, I have this knowledge. I know that there's duality, and that's not who I am. The metaphor that's being given is the waves churning, and the waves churning, sometimes the metaphor is used, pieces of straw come together by the churning of the waves. Sometimes it's said seaweed, clumps of seaweed come together by the churning of the waves, and for some time they're intermingled. You've seen this on rivers. There's some straws floating on the river in a certain pattern, caused by the waves. The same waves continue to churn and they separate. This is an explanation that's given upon the death of, or the departure of the soul from the body, and don't lament, because our coming together as whatever, family members or sons and daughters and stuff like, you know, husbands and wives and like that, come together by the churning of the waves and taken apart by the same waves. Do you lament when that happens? Oh, the configuration of straws on the surface of the river has now changed. Oh, I'm so sad. We don't lament that. Similarly, transcendental knowledge says, don't celebrate the coming together and the separating, when, because it's the churning of the waves. You can say time, moving souls into different positions. So similarly, our position may be whatever it may be. I'm a brahmachari, I'm a sannyasi, I'm a grahastha, I'm a vanaprastha, I'm a this and I'm a that. And then service-wise, this designation, that designation. It's not who we are, but we act within those designations for my purification and also to set a proper example. Like just an obvious one. If I, as a sannyasi, went out and got a job, no good. You're a sannyasi, you can't do that. And if a grahastha says, oh, I'm detached, I'm not going to get a job, I don't need any income, I'll just like depend on Krishna, that's not responsible. A grahastha, it's a part of their duty. You accept that situation, and it's part of your, and you accept the position if it suits your nature. Anyway, but it's not who we are. We function in a social way. I had this nice discussion with Shivaram Maharaj about this. As long as consciousness is not fully pure, the Varnashram system, he's a big advocate of Varnashram, by the way, Varnashram system is there not just, you know, for other people. His position is for us, he's saying, for myself, to help us become purified and qualified so that we have the eligibility to be completely designation free, attached to the personality of Godhead. When one has that eligibility, then this raga bhakti stage is appropriate. Then one may neglect the external. Commonly, even in the raga stage, one does all the external things, and internally is their cultivation, because they're setting an example. Just like Krishna says to Arjuna, when you're liberated, you'll still perform your duty to set an example. Because previously Krishna said, you don't have the adhikar. You can't not perform your duty. Oh, and then I become very elevated, then I don't have to do my duty. No, you have to do your duty to set an example. And so to become purified, and when purified, perform duty. But when that complete, like, where there's not even a chance of fruitive activity, seeking happiness and, you know, scratching the itch or a desire and contemplating fulfilling the desire, it's just absent. When that stage, the stage is reached by attachment to service, the mood of service, the mood of service unto Krishna. Then this spontaneous stage, while keeping the framework of the performance of duty, because that's what he's doing. He's attached to serving Krishna. He knows, he's teaching the king, you're not the master and I'm not the servant. None of us are masters and servants. We have one master and we're all servants. But for social convention, you like this one. Someone else likes that one. Someone else likes another one. Fine. Prabhupada taught us that's the position of a Vaishnav. Years ago, there was a, behind Prabhupada's Vyasasan in Mayapur, there were, recessed places in the wall, and inside were the pictures of the disciplic succession. So the one that was Prabhupada's picture, although his murti was there on the Vyasasan, the picture of Prabhupada was the early days of Mayapur, like really early, where it was just fields. And in the background of the picture, so Prabhupada is walking towards you as you look at the picture. And in the background behind Prabhupada is the Lotus Building, because that was the first building that went up. The Lotus Building. And it was, I think it was still being constructed, kind of. You know, the image was Prabhupada had a vision for Mayapur, and there was this building being constructed. And over to this side in the background is a devotee plowing the field behind a bullock. And it was Jaipataka Maharaj, a sannyasi Vaishnav, plowing the field. Why? He wanted to teach by example. So you plow the field. But you're not like a plowman. You're a Vaishnav. Designation doesn't matter. Same as Judd Barrett. I can be this, or I can be that, or I can be whatever. And by social convention, I'm the servant, I'm palanquin carrier, no problem. That's not who I am. But I'm attached to serving this personality in Godhead. When we come to that position, when we don't need the structure to support us, to keep us out of darkness of ignorance, keep us fixed in the transcendental mood of service to Krishna, then higher stages of bhakti can open to us. We're eligible, and otherwise we're not. Any discussion? Yes.
One thing you mentioned is the responsibility that we have to set examples as part of society, especially the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So something that I personally have been...
I understood about 50% of what you said.
Okay. Louder?
Or I don't know.
Slower?
Yeah.
Both.
Slower and clearer.
Okay.
One thing that you mentioned is the responsibility to be an example within society.
Yes, yes, yes.
Something that I personally have been struggling with is, I don't know if struggle is the right word, maybe that's too dramatic, but something that I've been working on is understanding the line between being an example and being, a person, just being an individual, doing what we need to do for our particular circumstances. And because what happens is that people interpret what you do, and if you're aware of that, it's, for me, a conundrum to know where's the line of service and where's the line of negligence in paying attention to the fact that other people will interpret what you're doing. So from the mood of wanting to be an example, not like I'm an important person amongst all of these devotees, but we all have to be examples for whatever stage we're at. So from that perspective, it's a service. But at the same time, it's also a service to just be a devotee who's aware of their individual, you know, situation. So I personally have some, you know, I'm oscillating in that space a little bit right now. So if you'd be kind, maybe you can share some. I know the focus is supposed to be, as you explained yesterday, in Gokulananda Prabhu's question, it's just yukta vairagya, what we're working towards, and we need guidance with that, and that's the principle that we work with. At the same time, you know, how do we just not care what other people are going to do in response to us, you know, if we're just following that principle to the best of our capacity?
Ultimately, it's Krishna. Krishna is up here. Krishna is the one who we're to please. And there are others who, in a more mature stage of Krishna consciousness, we certainly factor in. It's helping to determine how we do what we do, how what we do is going to impact others. The ultimate reference is Krishna is checking in like that is part of my service unto Krishna. It's part of the mood of service. It's a mature mood of service to think how what I do is going to impact on the lives of others. So that's something, that's one very important element in this oscillating thing. Another important element is, you know, there can be a material conception of being myself and a little comment is, I see that happens more prominently than really is wholesome, sometimes at least, a material conception of who I am. But then you go to a spiritual conception of who I am, and then you can look at on the level of Krishna consciousness, like the example of from Gokulananda's discussion, what is my level of my capacity for renunciation, and I need to wisely recognize what my level of renunciation is or detachment is, and then in a sustainable way I need to be who I am, just like, you know, say in a personal way. I'll go before that. Where's Sri Rupa can remember the discussion I had with the youth about find your voice. So it's like, you know, who am I? What's my place in the Sangha of Vaishnavas? What is it that I see as Krishna's gift and inspires me very much, and, you know, be in touch with that? So now, on a personal level, my nature is my nature. To some degree, it's not my eternal nature. It's a conditioned nature. I am who I am. The thing of being yourself. So I don't feel uncomfortable being who I am. I'm happy being who I am and happy that other people are being who they are. And that means there's diversity. And that's part of the beauty of Krishna. Diversity. From my position, my dedication although somebody else is different, they're going to express their dedication to Krishna differently. My dedication is to Krishna, and I respect their dedication unto Krishna. And let me, that this is this space that you're talking about, let me be sensitive to diversity, at the same time fixed in the purpose. And I'm going to manifest that as Krishna permits me to manifest that. My dedication to him and the voice, or the gift that Krishna has given me, or gifts that Krishna has given me, and let me express them that way. Now, the concern about, well, how people are going to read that. That's their relationship with Krishna, how they're going to read it. And it can be, focused or out of focus, or like really blurred, or wrong conception altogether. That's not my... I need to factor it, but it's not my responsibility, is how everybody perceives everything. That's super soul. And I'm not. I don't want that role either. But be the best example that I can, according to the inspiration and the capacity that Krishna has given, and according to my individuality. But my responsibility is to focus on Krishna, pleasing through the orders of my spiritual master, focus on Krishna, and be concerned at the same time about how doing that is going to impact the lives of others. Like this, that's like a little simple example that I gave already. I'm not going to go get a job. I don't want to get a job anyway, but I'm not going to do it anyway. Just or say that something else that one may entertain is not appropriate for a sannyasi. I'm not going to do that because it's disturbing to other people in society. Besides, it's not my nature. It's not even a contemplation. Okay, so now there are other things that are my service. How am I going to conduct myself when it comes to whatever? It's not an oscillation, it's a factoring, and then ultimately my responsibility is to my spiritual master and to Krishna. And, those that are my peers and seniors who, they can tap me on the shoulder at any time and say, what's going on? Something. Correct me. I'm open to that. I'm very happy for that. Same, for any one of us. Something else? Okay, looks like we're done. Thank you very much. Prabhupada ki.